of the Lord. Prepare ye the way 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 of the Lord.
Come on, everybody sing it.
Prepare the way of the Lord.
Come on, come on.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
Here we go.
Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord.
One more time.
The way of the
through this week, and we will follow.
He leads us to the light of the Lord. He brings the word that sustains us.
We wave palm branches in anticipation.
We lay down our pride to make way for Christ.
Setting aside all power, glory, and might, Jesus comes in humility.
Hosanna!
Hosanna! Blessed are those who bring the kingdom of God.
Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker. Come all you people, come and praise your maker.
Come now and worship the Lord. Now you know the whole thing. Come all you people, come and praise your Maker. Come all you people, come and praise your Maker. Come all you people, come and praise your Maker. Come now and worship the Lord. Come all you people, come and praise your Maker. Come all you people, come and praise your Maker. Come all you people, come and praise your Maker. Come now and worship. All people with two hands, put them together. Come all you people, come and praise your Maker. Come all you people, come and praise your Maker. Come all you people, come and praise your Maker. Come now and worship. Now worship with your dance moves. Come all you people, come and praise your Maker. Come all you people, come and praise your Maker. Come all you people, come and praise your Maker. Come now and worship the Lord. Amen. That was awesome. Turn to the people around you and welcome them with the joy of today.
Welcome to worship. Woohoo! It's Palm Sunday. It is crazy day here at Royal Oak First. Welcome, everybody. My name is Jeff Nelson. I'm one of the pastors here at Royal Oak First, and let me be among the first to welcome you officially to worship here this morning. If you are visiting with us for the first time, you are absolutely either thrilled or terrified right now. And we recognize that it might be a combination of the both, but we are a church that is alive, and we are grateful that you are here to help us be alive. If you weren't here with us today, this place wouldn't be as special as it is right now. So we are just so grateful that all of you have found your way here to Royal Oak First. Our ushers are going to be coming down in a minute with our ritual of friendship pads. That's going to be your opportunity to record your attendance with us. If you would record your attendance and pass it to the end and then pass it back to the center. And as it comes back to the center in what we call the spirit of Christian nosiness, would you look and see who's seated next to you today? And would you welcome somebody you haven't met yet at the end of the service? As always, we got more going on in the life of the church than we can announce in any one time, so please consult your bulletin to see the full array of mission and service opportunities happening here at Royal Oak First. But I want to invite you to consider just a couple of special things at the start. First of all, if you've been worshiping with us, gathering with us for a while, I want to invite you, if you're new to the party, I want to invite you to a new to the party party. Okay? So if you're new to Royal Oak First, every other month we gather everybody that just wants to learn more about what's happening here. So on May the 7th, that's a Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, over at my house, over at Bridget and I's house, at 3113 Main, right here in Royal Oak, 13 in Main, between the 7-Eleven and Star Park, you'll find us, and come and learn some more about what's happening here. But most importantly, we want to learn more about you. We need you in order to continue to do the work that the Spirit has called us to do. So if that is interesting to you, either RSVP in the office or sign up at the Here I Am Lord table after the service. Also, I want to let you know about a great service opportunity. Last Sunday, we talked about that worship in here has to translate to service out there. And if our worship in here only stays here, then it doesn't do the work that God has asked us to do. So we always try to bring opportunities where we can be the hands and feet of Christ out in the world. So on Saturday, April 22nd, we are going to be partnering with this great organization called Rippling Hope. Rippling Hope does service work on the west side of Detroit in the Cody Rouge neighborhood. They have been in the home repair, home restoration, home kind of keeping homeowners safe, warm, and dry. So we're going to go down there that day and we're going to lend a hand. We're going to lend a hand with some of the work, working on some homes, caulking some windows, adding some paint, helping with some yards, clearing out some lots, doing some of the work that needs to be done. All you've got to do that morning, if you want to be involved on Saturday, April 22nd, is come here at 8:30 in the morning. We'll travel down there. We'll begin work about 9. We'll be home between 2:30 and 3. They provide all the tools, and they provide the lunch. If you're one of those guys that's got to bring his own tools, then bring his own tools. Mike McNutt, you can bring your own tools, right? You know, but bring your own tools if you need to. But if you don't have them, they'll have them and provide them for us. But most importantly, we get to be the hands and feet of Christ in that neighborhood. This last Thursday, we sent 26 people down to Cass. Who went to Cass this week to help make sandwiches and stuff? Let's have a hand for our service team that went out there, our young people doing some work. Holy Week starts today. Today is Palm Sunday. Woo! That's right. Every time I say Palm Sunday, you go, woo! Today is Palm Sunday. Very good. I'm going to regret that. I'm going to regret that. All right. It's Holy Week happening here this week. So we have a lot of times to come together to experience our story. Thursday, right here, two services that day, 11 o'clock with our bag lunch program. Then at 7 o'clock, right here, you're not going to want to miss that. It's going to be powerful. It's going to be, I don't want to give too much away, but if you thought this was fun, you're not going to want to miss Thursday. Friday, two chances to come and hear the last words of Christ. Noon, high noon, right here in this place, a service of word and preaching, and then in the evening, something very interesting, a tenebrae service where the seven last words will be brought to us by Detroit poets. Poets who've been given one of those scriptures, and they are creating a new piece in order to share with us how that word might sound in our world today. So come on Good Friday. Saturday, we've got our Easter vigil at 4 o'clock right here, and then we'll be back here a week from now, and we are going to unleash all of the joy of Easter in this space. So come and be a part of Holy Week here at Royal Oak First. That's a Life is a Highway, in case you're wondering what he's playing right there. And that'll be clear why he's playing that in a minute. You threw me on that one, bro. I wasn't ready. Yeah. I'm wondering right now, if I were to ask you to think about the one car, one vehicle that you once owned in your life, that is your all-time favorite car that you ever owned, that if you could go back right now and get that car, and if you could have it even for just 1 week, I bet right now just about everybody out here is picturing the vehicle in their mind. Here is mine. Well, that would have been good if it came right up. There it is. There is mine. That is my 1989 Chevy Astro van. It was a sweet ride, Jay. I bought that baby in 1993, and in its former life, I am not kidding you, it was the Holiday Inn courtesy van. In fact, if you look really closely at the doors, you could see the stickers that still said, "Welcome to the Eau Claire Holiday Inn." And I bought that van. That van was an extension of my personality. I mean, that van was built for comfort, not for speed. I'm built for comfort, not for speed. That was that green van. There was no other green van like that in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. That is one goofy looking ride, right? I am one goofy looking ride, right? When that ride would roll up on you, you couldn't help but smile. And it's my hope when I roll up on you, you can't help but smile. But most importantly, that van, like me, is wired for community. You see, I could take lots of people lots of places, and the more the merrier. Sometimes there'd be 8 people in that van. Sometimes there'd be 10 people in that van. Sometimes we'd have 12, and if you took the seats out, you could get 15 to 18 people in that van. And we would go some places, people. We would go to restaurants, and we would go to the movies, and we would go to the beach, and we would go to concerts. And I was the guy who could get you places, and the more, the merrier. And I was dating the woman that I would eventually marry. Do you want to know how I knew that I would marry her? Is when she took this van of mine, this wonderful ride, and on my birthday, she took it in and got it decked out with the world's sweetest cassette player. It had an awesome cassette player, man, because I had the best set of mixtapes anywhere, right? And I can picture it right now. I can close my eyes, and that van is full. Bridget and I and our best friends, and we are tooling down the back roads of western Wisconsin, and we are singing at the top of our lungs, oh, we're halfway there, oh, living on a prayer, take my hand and we'll make it, I swear. There. You were in the van with me, right? I mean, that was my ride. I imagine that if I had time here this morning, I could go person by person by person, and you could tell me about the ride, the car, the vehicle, that if you could go back and drive one more time, that you would go and do that. People who are in the car industry say people end up choosing the car in part because they believe the vehicle reflects something about themselves. Built for comfort, not for speed. Goofy. Gonna make you smile. Hopefully, all about community. The car we drive says something about us. In fact, people who are in the car industry know that certain colors will draw certain people to that kind of a car. You know what the number one selling car color in America is right now? It is white. Yeah, you were here last service, right? I mean, yes, yeah. Yes, see how that goes. Yes, the number one selling car color in America right now is white. Who has a white car out there? You are my white car people. Here's what the industry says about you. If you drive a white car, you are fresh. You are modern, right? You are direct. But here's the other thing we know about white cars, right? They're a little on the high maintenance end. And so are you, right? That's all right. That's okay, right? How about the second most popular car color is? It's black. Black is the second most popular car color right now. Where's my black car people? Who's got the black rides out there? You are the classy people, right? That is the tuxedo of cars right there, right? That is classy, taste, elegant. Look around at that person with the black car and go, oh yeah, I can see that, right? I can see that. The third most popular car color in America right now is silver.
What?
The silver car, right? The silver. Where's my silver car, people? Look at all these silver cars. Look at all these silver car people. These are the people who are cool. Right? Silver car people are, man, they are cool, man. I drive a silver, it was given to me, yes. It is cool, it is modernistic, it is flashy. Now the fourth most color is kind of the opposite angle of the silver car. You know, you think it's red, but you know what outpaces the red car? The gray car. Where's my gray car, people? Yes. You admit it, you gray car folks, you are the sensible ones, the reasonable ones, the frugal ones, right? My dad, finally, when my dad got his first gray car, he's like, check me out in my gray car, man. I've made it. It matches my hair, right? You know, gray car, right? Of course, though, everybody wants one of these, right? The red car, right? What do people who drive red cars want? Tickets. Lots and lots of tickets, right? Red cars stand out, man. They stand out from the crowd. You know, where's my blue car people, right? You know, blue car people are, that is the stability color. Look at those blue car people again. Where's my blue car people? All right, I need to know who you are, right? You know what the number one selling blue vehicle in America is right now? Minivans, right? If you are wanting to get a minivan, you are in a moment of stability in your life, you just need a vehicle that's gonna get you from here to there, and you want your kids to be belted in and safe, blue minivans sell more than any other minivan. The car we drive tells us something about who we are and what we want to project onto the world. And I tell you that that is important today because the car, the vehicle, the ride that Jesus had when he rode into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago on that very first Palm Sunday tells us something. I know I've really screwed this up. I'm going to try to see if I can go the rest of the day without saying that. Let's see. But when he came in 2,000 years ago, what he rode in on told the world what he wanted them to know about him. What he rode in on that Palm Sunday 2,000 years ago, what he rode in on told people what he wanted to them to know about him. So the question I want us to consider today is, what would Jesus drive? Right? What would Jesus drive? So, I did a ton of research this week on what kind of car Jesus would drive. And believe it or not, Jesus was a Honda driver. Did you know that? It says, Jesus drove a Honda, but he didn't talk about it. For I did not speak of my own accord. Again, though, it's important that we realize what it was that Jesus rode into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, because it's easy to lose sight of that, because this day is full of all kinds of other excitement, frankly, all kinds of other distraction. In some ways, we wanted to simulate that excitement and that distraction today in among us with the waving of the palms and the excitement and the chanting and the kids all over the place. That is what happened in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, but it was all a set up to make sure that we noticed what it was that Jesus drove into Jerusalem on that day. For what he rode in on that day told the world exactly what he wanted them to know about him and the kingdom that he was trying to establish right here on earth. Because you see, like, we have choices when it comes to deciding what it is we want to drive and what we drive says about us. Jesus had a choice that day. Because you see, parades in Jerusalem were not an uncommon thing. Kings and conquerors and would-be saviors and messiahs were a dime a dozen. They marched into Jerusalem. Almost every other year, a new conquering king would show up to say, I am the one that's going to save you. And when those kings came in, they were always, always, always riding one of these. A white horse. A stallion coming in to say, I am in charge. I am bringing power. I am going to take over. The white stallion was not only to strike prestige into the eyes of the ongoers, but also a sense of awe and a sense of fear. You didn't mess with the general who came riding in on the white horse. And Jesus could have rode in on a white horse 2,000 years ago. But you see, that's not what he wanted to tell us about himself. So Jesus made another decision 2,000 years ago about the kind of ride he was going to have when he came into Jerusalem. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus came in on the back of a donkey. He came in on a beast of burden. A service animal. An animal that struck fear into nobody. an animal that even the poorest among them could have owned. And as Jesus entered into Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, on the back of that donkey, he told the world and the community who he was and what he was about. And most importantly, he was telling everybody, this is the kind of kingdom I've been talking about all along. You see, I don't know about you, but I am ready to retire these. No more monster truck Jesus. Right? We all have met monster truck Jesus before, or people who drive monster truck Jesus. People who show up driving their faith like all the faith has to do is show up and roll you over. Somebody who believes that their faith is designed to crush enemies in their path, to crush people with their power and their might and their strength. Maybe, I don't know about you, but maybe you've encountered somebody whose faith and their Christianity comes at you like it's a monster truck. Trying to roll you over, trying to crush your doubt, trying to crush you with judgment or fear or anxiety. Have you ever been run over by monster truck Jesus? The world, I can tell you this, as a pastor, the number one roadblock to me in the world when people learn I'm a pastor, when people learn I'm a pastor and they're not connected to a church, they think I'm driving that. They look right at me and I can even see them begin to brace themselves. I hate, and I'm out in public. How? Who are you? What do you do for a living? I'm a pastor, and I watch them cringe. For they are expecting at any moment for me to get into the cab of my faith and bowl them over. Monster truck Jesus is not the Jesus that entered Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Not by a long shot. And so I think we here at Royal Oak First, in a church like us who believes in a kingdom like Jesus wanted to bring, we have to make sure that when we go out and we encounter the world around us, we want to make sure that we are driving vehicles like this. Salvation Army bread trucks. To say, this is the Jesus I know that goes out where the hungry and the homeless are and makes sure that there is bread to feed them. Did you know that our bag lunch, the members of our bag lunch program here at Royal Oak First go out once a week in the Salvation Army bread truck to feed others? They go out as a visible sign to say, hey, we're in this together. I've been fed here, so now my job is to go feed out there. Maybe, just maybe, the world is looking for a Jesus riding on the back of one of these. A tow truck. Far too many people's lives are broken down by the side of the road, and they can't put their lives back together, and they're afraid that as soon as the church shows up in their monster truck, if they've been stalled outside the side of the road, the monster truck is just going to roll them over. So I don't know about you, but I'm looking for my Jesus to show up in a tow truck. Because tow trucks will stop. Tow trucks will help figure out what the problem is. Tow trucks will put you on their back and get you to where you can't get by yourself. Maybe, just maybe, that's what the church should look like, is a tow truck that's willing to stop at the side of the road and pull people out of the ditch and help get them to where they can't go on their own. Maybe, just maybe, the world is hoping that Jesus would show up in one of these. A dump truck. Or that's not a dump truck. That's a garbage truck. That's a garbage truck. And come and take all of that guilt and all of that shame and all that worry and all of that anger that festers and builds up in us and takes it to the roadside and says, here, you don't need to carry this junk around anymore. Or maybe, just maybe, the world is hoping Jesus is showing up in an ambulance. Who can take the wounded and the hurt and the paralyzed and the left out and the forgotten and get them here. Get them here into this place, into a room like this among people like you who will say, hey, I was broken down by the roadside once too. But I got here. And people helped put me back together again. See, what Jesus rode in on 2,000 years ago told the world who he was and what he's about. And I'm here today to tell you what the church rides in on today tells the world who we are and what we are about. And too much of the world is expecting us to show up in our monster truck. And all along they're hoping and praying it'll be a bread truck, a tow truck, a garbage truck, or an ambulance. 2,000 years ago, people literally lined the street. For a Messiah, a Savior, a chosen one, who rode on the back of a donkey, on the back of a car that all of us could afford, proclaiming a kind of kingdom that all of us can belong to. No wonder the streets got lined that day. Because all of the people that had followed Jesus all along finally began to believe that this kingdom that he came to proclaim was really for them. When he rode in on that donkey that day, they raised their branches in the air and they said, "This is what we've been waiting for." So brothers and sisters, today is a day to get excited in here and wave our branches, because we have discovered a way of being in this world that isn't content with just bowling anybody over, isn't content in crushing our enemies. But that when your life is broke down on the side of the road, we'll pull over and help you put it back together. We'll give you a spot on the bread truck, so you can go out and deliver hope and good news to those who are wondering if this kingdom is for them. And a garbage truck that'll take care of all the shame and guilt and anger and fear of our past. If that's the kind of kingdom you want to belong to, then grab a hold of that palm branch today and wave it high above your head. Because the king is coming, but ours is riding on the back of a donkey. Hey, Andrew, from the balcony, can you give us that opening chorus one more time? Prepare the way. Prepare ye. Prepare ye. Let me hear you, church. One more time. We prepare the world for a coming of a kingdom that is built on peace and justice and inclusion. So as you go forth from this place today, take these palms out and prepare the way for the coming of this kingdom. Amen.